Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Brian Daboll, and I hope to see him on here, the world's most famous. I love. How could you not? Like, if you were to ask me right now, Sal, give me, you know, everybody calls with the hypotheticals. Oh, who would you like to interview or this or that? If you were to ask me right now in New York sports, give me top three, even top two, maybe the guy, maybe top one, which New York sports figure would I like to hang out with the most right now? Brian Daboll is atop that list.
He reminds me so much of Tom Coughlin, like so much of that, like, even when the Giants lose, it's just that smooth demeanor that he just gets everyone going the next week, you know. And Giants had a lot of ugly games last year, but I mean, the Giants now also added Jalen Hyatt, who had 15 touchdowns last year. I mean, you watched the game against Alabama, 5 catches, 207. What? Dude, a 4.3 speed. Dude reminds me exactly of DeSean Jackson. Like, the dude is bigger. You know, the dude's fast. Giants got their number one, and then you got the slot guys and Paris Campbell and Hodgins and Waller. Barkley comes back.
I need to see it play out. I do like the fact, though, that Daboll felt that strongly about it to where he was trying to, you know, work the phones and send the text to make the trade happen for Hyatt. I didn't watch him play at college. Don't know anything about him other than what you just said, and we're learning about him after the Giants take him here in the third round. But
Fred Belinknoff Award. Right, which goes to the best wide receiver in the country.
And then why did he go in the third round?
Well, just because he's got a little questions with his route running. The thing about the Giants is that it fits him perfectly because just like Gabe Davis in Buffalo, remember, Gabe Davis also went in the third round, but he had that speed. But
yeah, I'm not saying that he can't be good. I'm not saying a third round pick can't be good, but if you're saying he's the best wide receiver in college football to go in the third round, I mean, that doesn't add up to me just on the surface. But look, the Giants drafted by need, and I'm assuming got skill players that they like here with Banks, certainly with Hyatt, and then they get the center that they want in the second round. So we'll see. On paper, it looks great. But here's what it comes down to. You have to trust Mark, and at this point, I think that we do, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to run things for the Giants, and I trust that they're making the right calls.
And I mean, everyone was sitting here saying about Daniel Jones, right? Which I saw a lot. I mean, listen, I have a bunch of them, and I'm taking receipts, Robert Saleh, right? I'm taking receipts because here's the thing: is that Jones has never been really surrounded like buy weapons. Like, the reason the Giants drafted Barkley so high was because they wanted to take the pressure off Eli Manning in his final year. So they were like, oh, we're going to draft Barkley. The reason why the Giants went after Kenny Golladay was because stupid idiot traded away Beckham because they needed to, right? And all of a sudden he's like, I need a receiver, and the best receiver available was Golladay. Let's go after Golladay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's a mistake. You know, I get it. And look, I don't love Daniel Jones as much as you do, Mark, and thank you for the call. But he certainly proved a lot of the doubters wrong last year. Now he's got to do it again because he's had one good year. And I think a lot of it had to do with Daboll. But the good news is Dable's not going anywhere. So it's irrelevant what Daniel Jones would do anywhere else. That's a hypothetical that does not matter. The reality is Brian Daboll is the Giants head coach, and he isn't going anywhere. And Daniel Jones is the Giants quarterback, and he isn't going anywhere. So that's the combination that teams in the NFC are going to have to mess with. I love Dabes. Now, you say he reminds you of Coughlin. Maybe there are parts of him that when he gets on somebody or yelling on the sideline, like, he's got that take no BS mentality like Coughlin, but he's got a tremendous personality. And I think, I don't believe he takes himself too seriously, where I think Coughlin did. Certainly before he adjusted. Remember, Coughlin had to change a little bit, and that's when he finally, broke through and won that first Super Bowl. Nick is calling from State College. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
How are you, Nick?
Good. First of all, I agree with you on Brian Daboll. As a Giants fan, I think he's bringing in like a personality and energy that this team really hasn't seen in a long time. I think he's able to connect with the players, just like in a being more youthful and in a more, I guess, emotional way. I think he's connecting with these players way more than a Pat Shurmur or Joe Judge was able to. So, You know,
agreed 100%. Agreed 100%.
Yeah, I agree with Eric. My main point was about the Mets. I just want to throw out a few stats out there that is indicative of this $350 million payroll. I mean, this team is 19th in the majors in batting average, 14th in runs, 19th in home runs, 16th in ERA. I mean, they just don't excel in anything, and I think that's what's really frustrating is that, I mean, it's across the board, it's just complete mediocrity.
And, well, for
that's
now,
what I'm worried about right now.
Well, how was this team built, Nick? What was supposed to be their strength coming into the year?
It's supposed to be their contact and their pitching, most of all. And I know their pitching is obviously...
Their starting rotation. And thank you for the call, Nick. Their starting rotation. They haven't had Scherzer... Verlander doesn't pitch a game. So we expect that to change next week. The entire look of the Mets could be different when you see Scherzer and Verlander in that rotation at the same time. They better hope that that's the case. And then once they get Marte and Lindor going, they'll look like a different team. They should be a playoff team, at the very least. Jim and Haverstraw. What's up, Jim?
Salami. Come on, Haverstraw.
I think I say it different every single time. Haverstraw. What's up, Jim?
Yes, you do. And listen, Stable is he is such a perfect fit, too, just for the New York, for the Giants, the team, what they represent, like, you see him at the Rangers game. He gets put on the Jumbotron.
Yep.
He's perfect in every sense, man.
I love him. I love Coach Dable, and I love his fire at the Ranger games in particular. But how could you not root for this guy? Coach Dable makes me root for the Giants. Simple as that. I believe in him and Shane. I think the Giants are in great hands, and I think they have – look, obviously they had success this year. Forget about what I think. The reality was they had success this year. I expect it to continue moving forward. May not get as far as they did a year ago, but they're in great hands as a franchise.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.